Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
The example was given from the final prayer offered by Bhishma Dev, like the sun being reflected in different places and it appears differently, but there's only one sun. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, in the same one body as the Super Soul, is perceived differently in all the different hearts. In the heart of an elephant, he's elephant-sized thumb. In the heart of an ant, he's thumb size of an ant. Okay. Evam, this is 44.1. Evam tasya nityatva vibhutve sarite. In this way, you just unplug me. Okay. In this way have been proven the eternality and the infinite size of that form of the Supreme Lord. Tataiva vyakhyatam Shri Swamibhir Ashtamasya Shashte Anavir Avirasyam Ma bhuta bhuriti bruvan brahma bipraiti nityatva vibhutve bhagavatanoho iti. This is a verse written by Sridhar Swami, commenting on the 6th chapter of the 8th canto. When Brahma says this invisible form of yours has become visible, but it has not come into being as a creation of matter, he is describing the eternality and the infinite size of the Supreme Lord's body. Okay. Being eternal and infinite, it's always there, and it's there everywhere. So no question of it coming into being or going out of existence. What is infinite is eternal. And what is all-pervading is everywhere. But there is appearance and disappearance of that form. There's no actual birth or death, but there's coming and going, appearing and disappearing. Tatahi shlokadvayam taktikacha. There's an example of Sandhi. Before the cerebral ta, the tad becomes tart, cerebral. What's the sutra?
I didn't hear it. Did you? Louder? Is that right? That's a different one.
I don't know if it's more than that
changes the kind of stuff. Changes the what? Sorry. What he said, what does that mean? Yeah.
The question is, what's the sutra that tells you to change dental T or dental da to cerebral ta before a cerebral?
Is that the right?
That's different. That's changing the varna.
No.
Yeah, you're right. Lata Tavarga. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yes. Yes, that's right. That's it. That's it. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Anyway, Tatahi Shloka Doyam Tatikacha. There are also two verses with the commentary on the Maitreya Swami. These two verses are from that chapter, 8:6, verses 8 and 9. Ajata stiti samyamaya gunaya nirvana sukarnavaya anor animne pariganya dhamne mahanubhavaya namo namaste. Your birth, duration of life, and demise are not effects of material creation. They are not effects of material creation. You were always free from the material qualities, and you are the shelter of transcendental bliss resembling an ocean. You are the supreme subtle of the most supreme subtle, Anur Animne. Yet your transcendental form is immeasurably large. Anur Animne, Apariganya Damne, immeasurable in size. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme, whose existence is inconceivable. In the second verse, Rupam Tavaitat Purushar Shabejiam Shreyorti Bir Vaidika Tantrikena Yogena Dhatak Sahanastri Lokan Pashyam Yamushmin Uha Vishwamurtehe Itidam Padyadvayam. This is the two verses. And after that, we'll see the commentary. The second verse says, O best of persons, O supreme director, those who actually aspire for supreme good fortune, worship this form of your lordship according to the Vedas and the Tantras. My Lord, we can see all the three worlds in this universal body of yours. Commentary. The previous anuchedas have focused on two topics. That the body of the Supreme is eternal was established in text 28 and 29. And that it pervades all existence in the following texts up to this point. Okay, that's from 30 up to 44. Text 28 announced Sri Vigrahasya Purna Sarupa Bhutatvam, the proposition that the divine personal form of the Lord comprises his complete self. After that, it was reasoned that his body must be eternal, since he is the ruler of an eternal abode. That makes sense. If he's in charge of a place that is eternal, then he must be eternal. Moreover, he remains in that body even after the material creation is destroyed. Time is but an expansion of his body, and so cannot influence it, his body. Now, the sixth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, describes how Indra neglected a gift of Durvasa. The angry sage, when Indra did that, the angry sage cursed the demigods to lose their power and be threatened by their enemies. Indra and the other rulers of heaven prayed to Lord Vishnu for help, and he responded by appearing before them, leading the delegation of demigods Brahma offered praise to the Lord, beginning with the two verses cited here. Sridhar Swami prefaces his comment on these verses with a verse of his own, something he does only at the head of chapters and the start of exceptionally important sections. The commentary points out the mystery which Brahma revealed about the special way the Supreme Lord appears in this world. We have a number of very important prayers offered by Brahma. But Brahma is speaking a lot in the Bhagavatam. He's one of the major speakers. And this is one of the other occasions on which he has some prayers to offer. Here in chapter 6 of the 8th canto. Continuing, as Lord Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita 3.9, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. To achieve the perfection of life, it is enough to just understand the transcendental nature of his birth and activities, Krishna's. Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti surjuna. That fortunate person will not be born again, but will join Krishna in the spiritual world. Okay, going back, here is Sridhar Swami's commentary on those two verses. Srimurtir ayam avir bhava eva natvasmaradiva janmadi tavastiti ityaha na jata janmadayo yasya. Here is the commentary. This divine form of yours has its appearance only. You have no birth. And so on, as do persons like myself, Brahma and other people that he puts in his same category with himself, take birth in material bodies. But you, the Supreme Lord, have no such birth. You just have your appearance. This Brahma states by saying, whose birth, duration of life, and demise are not produced. Why is this? Okay, Sanskrit. Kuta agunaya ato nirvana sukasyar navaya apara moksha sukha rupaya etyar taha. Why is this? Why does he have no produced birth, duration of life, and demise? Why is this? Obeisances to him who has no qualities, agunaya, and who therefore is the ocean of the happiness of nirvana, which means to say, who is the original form of the boundless happiness of liberation? Tatapi anur animne ati sukshmaya durgyanatvad vastutastu aparigunyam ivai yatatitam dhamma murtir yasya tasmai. Even so, is the ocean of the happiness of nirvana, the original form of the boundless happiness of liberation, even so, to him who is smaller than the smallest, extremely subtle, because of being very difficult to understand. Although in fact his embodiment, his personal form, is immeasurable, unlimited in extent. Nachaitad asambhavitam yato mahan achintyo nubhavo yasya tasmai. This, moreover, is not impossible, since his power is great, inconceivable. To him my obeisances. Achintya anubhavo yasya tasmai. He is the one who has inconceivable power. Tanmurte sanatanatvam aparimeyatvam cho upapadayati rupamiti. Brahma then demonstrates that the Lord's form is perpetual and immeasurable. Sanatanatvam aparimeyatvam cha. In the words beginning rupam, hey purusharshaba, hey data, eta tavarupam, vaidikena, tantrikena, cha yogo, yogen opayena, shreyortibi, sada ijyam, pujyam. O most exalted of persons, O creator, this form of yours is always deserving of being offered sacrifice, ijyam, always worshipable. Sacrificed, offered, it's always offered sacrifice, sacrifice offered through the yoga or the methods of the Vedas and the Tantras. Yoga is normally considered a separate system. The Brahmanas perform sacrifices. And then those who don't live in the villages, who are somewhat misfits, they go out in the forest and perform yoga. But here the yoga word is being used more generally. All the Vedic means are being called yogas. Methods, upaya, means. Through the methods of the Vedas and the Tantras, by those who aspire for ultimate success. What's the difference between Vedas and Tantras? Yeah, what's it? Okay, more liberal. Why is there a need to be more liberal? Yeah, not everybody can even study, hear the Vedas. What to speak of follow them. So for people who are not qualified to listen to, study the Vedas and practice them, they can practice tantric method. But the Vaishnav Smritis, the Bhakti Shastras are also tantras. Pancharatrika method is tantric. Again, tantra is used in a specific sense. You know, Rajasic and Tamasic yogis who are trying to become very powerful and manipulate the spirit mantras and other energies to control other people. We call them tantrics. But the word tantra has a more general sense. Pancharatrika Vaishnavas are also tantrics. And the Shaivites who follow their tantra, they're tantrics also. Ato nedam idanim apurvam jatam iti bhavaha. Therefore, it is implied this form, iti bhava. The implication is that this form is not something newly born, which did not exist previously, this form of the personality of Godhead. It's not something that was born in time. Okay, but he has his answer to this, the Supreme Lord. Nanu, yuyam devaha pujatvena prasiddha. But you demigods are known everywhere as the proper objects of worship. Satyam, sarvepya antriv antarbhuta ityaha. Yes, true, but this form of yours contains all of us. We're just part of you. If we're worshipable, then you're more worshipable. This Brahma asserts, saying, ooh-aho, aho, ha, ooh-ha, these words are there. Ooh means aho, ha means sputam. Amushmin, twayi, no asman trilokam cha saha pashyami. He says u to mean o and ha to mean certainly. In this person, you, I see ourselves together with the three worlds. The reason for this is indicated by the word Vishwamurtehe, which means who includes the universe within his body. Tatrahetu Vishwamurte Vishwamurtau Yasya Atas Tavai Tad Rupam Parichinamapi Nabhavati Ityarta Ityesha. The reason for this is indicated by the word Vishwamurte, which means who includes the universe within his body. And therefore the idea is this form of yours is not limited. So Lord Vishnu may object that why are you calling me the object of worship? The gods are to be worshipped, not me. But Brahma answers, your personal form includes all the demigods within it. Certainly. In your personality, I see all of us demigods and all the three worlds. And therefore, he calls him Vishwamurti. That indicates that the Lord's form is not limited. If it includes everything, it must be unlimited. Commentary. Well, it's not just the material, the form that includes the whole material universe. Then it would still be limited. But the Lord's personal form goes beyond, way beyond the material universe. Therefore, it's unlimited. Material universe is still limited. Commentary. Brahma, the leader of all the demigods and sages, is also a born creature. He's the first of the demigods and he's the first of the rishis, Prajapatis and other rishis. There are rishis who actively are involved in populating the universe. They're Prajapatis. There are other rishis who are just meditating on the Vedic mantras and teaching them and explaining them. Brahma is the first of all of these. His sons are the Prajapatis who give birth to everybody else. He's the original explainer, presenter, and explainer of the Vedas. And he's the first of all the ruling demigods. He's in all these categories. He's a born creature, but his father is not. Lord Vishnu is the ultimate Father, free from birth, death, and all the limitations of material qualities, he, Vishnu, enjoys his pleasure in the company of his descendants who care to join him. The first things Sridhar Swami says in his commentary on these verses are also agreeable to Mayavadi impersonalists. The Supreme Lord has no qualities and is the inconceivable and immeasurable ocean of bliss, which bliss the finite souls can also experience by achieving the cessation nirvana of their material conditioning. So that sounds fine to the Mayavadis. But Sridhar Swami goes on to say, however, that the body of the personality of Godhead is eternal. That the Mayavadis don't want to hear. This the Mayavadis cannot accept, because for them only formless Brahman is absolutely real. The founder of the Mayavad school, Acharya Shankara, acknowledges only that the personality of God is eternal in a relative sense. He says, Narayano paro vyaktat, Lord Narayan is beyond the unmanifest existence of primeval nature. God is greater than the creation, but according to Shankara, the formless supreme is even greater than God. When the conditioned soul transcends the illusion of creation by achieving nirvana, the extinction of his pretense to exist separately, the nirvana is the extinction of his pretending to exist separately. He doesn't really exist separately, but nirvana means to stop pretending that you're separate. That's the Mayavada idea. Then the supreme illusion of a personal God also dissolves. That's the end of Krishna. When you achieve nirvana, Krishna dissolves. Okay, this is not at all the opinion of Sridhar Swami. He's not a Mayavadi. Explaining Lord Brahma's words, he does not even mention the impersonal aspect of the Supreme, but applies the terms sanatanatvam, being eternal, and aparimeyatvam, being immeasurable, to the Lord's personal body. It's not that Brahman is sanatan and aparimeya without a body, but the body of God is eternal and immeasurable. The second verse of Brahma's prayer, he explains, Sridhar Swami explains as proving this sanatanatvam and aparimeyatvam. Followers of the official path of the Vedas and of alternative disciplines have always singled out the personal form of Lord Vishnu for their worship. So how can his form be a new creation? He's been always worshipped, going back as far as you can trace. So when did it get created, if he's always been worshipped? Others worship various demigods, but these gods are no more than partial expansions of Lord Vishnu. Okay, continuing with 44.3. Atra nirvana sukhar navayeti arnavatva rupakena nirvana sukha matratvam nirasya. Tatopi adika mahasukatvam darshitam. In these verses, the phrase "to the ocean of the happiness of nirvana," nirvana sukhar navaya. Okay, that sounds like a Buddhist could say that. But these words spoken by Brahma deny, by the metaphor of an ocean, that he is merely the happiness of nirvana, and shows that he comprises happiness much greater than that. The happiness of nirvana is not really an ocean. He's an ocean. The happiness found in him is an ocean. Nirvana is just like a little puddle. And the same was said by Dhruva. Tataruktam Sri Dhruvena. He says it in, where? 20. In the fourth canto, chapter 9. Dhruva says, Ya nivritis tanubritam tavapadam padma dhyanad bhavad janakata shravanena vasyat. Sa brahmani swamahimanyapinata mabhut timvantakasi lulitat patatam vimanat. The same is said by Sri Dhruva in the words beginning, this is just the beginning of it, My Lord, the transcendental bliss derived from meditating upon your lotus feet. Lotus feet represents the body of the Lord. And the bliss derived from meditating upon your lotus feet or hearing about your glories from pure devotees is so unlimited that it is far beyond the stage of Brahmananda, wherein one thinks himself merged in the impersonal Brahman as one with the Supreme. Since Brahmananda is also defeated by the transcendental bliss derived from devotional service, then what to speak of the temporary blissfulness of elevating oneself to the heavenly planets, which is ended by the separating sword of time? Antakasi lulitat patatam vimanat, and then they fall out of their airplanes. That's missing from the translation. Should we add that? He falls down. Oh, although one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, he falls down in due course of time. Okay, that's Prabhupada's translation. Tata anur animne iti prochya aparidama ityukter achintya shakti twa rupena mahanubhava twaina sarva parimana dharatvam tatra darshitam iti visesho pi gyeyaha. We can also derive additional insight from these verses, from it having been said in the verse spoken by Brahma, to him who is smaller than the smallest. And then Brahma says after that, to him whose personal form is immeasurable, which demonstrate that he incorporates within himself all different kinds of size by the great power, the Mahanubhava, of his having inconceivable energies that makes him infinitely big and infinitely small at the same time. The commentary on this, the happiness successful impersonalists find in their Brahman realization compares meagerly to the boundless ocean of bhakti rasa. What then to speak of all kinds of material happiness? They're not very comparable to bhakti rasa at all. In the material world's higher echelons of privilege, the residents of heaven fly about as they like in celestial airplanes for millions of years, but time in the end brings them down. You can drive your car for 10 or 15 years until it becomes a pile of junk. But the demigods, they can fly around their airplanes for millions of years, but still they get dragged down from their airplanes eventually. Young Dhruva envisions the greater happiness of devotees of devotion to the Supreme Lord as derived from two activities. What are the two activities of devotional service that he's mentioning? One is meditating on his lotus feet, that Dhruva mentions, which actually means concentrating one's attention with reverence. If you're going to look at someone's feet, then you're being respectful. So looking with reverence on everything about him. And the other is listening to the Lord's devotees describe him. Normally, a newcomer to the path of bhakti needs to first practice hearing for some time before his capacity to meditate on the object of his worship begins to develop naturally. In referring to these two methods, Dhruva uses the second person pronouns tava and bhavan, since he is talking directly to Lord Vishnu, who has granted Dhruva a personal audience. He's talking to Vishnu in person. Brahma calls Lord Vishnu both anur animne, smaller than the smallest, and also aparameya damne, he whose presence expands beyond measure. Here I'm translating Dhamma as presence. Sage Kannada, in his Vaisheshika system of metaphysics, identified three different kinds of size: Vibhu, infinite, Anu, infinitesimal, and Madhyama, in between. Only things of Madhyama, medium size, have parts and can be perceived by ordinary beings. From what Brahma has said in his prayer, we can conclude that the personality of Godhead incorporates all three kinds of size. So ordinary people can come here and see the deities on the altar. Or when Krishna is present in his avatar, everybody can see him. They may not understand him, but they can see him. When he becomes Madhyama size. But on the other hand, we can say he doesn't have any of these sizes. If being Vibhu, Anu, or Madhyama means suffering restriction by the laws of nature. By the laws of nature, a material entity, which is Vibhu, like ether or time, is not the other two. It's one of the three. It's exclusive. One, you can be Vibhu, Anu, or Madhyama, but not all three in the material world. But the Supreme Lord's body is all three at the same time. Okay. Atta stula sukshma atiriktatam aha dvabhyam. Next we consider the statement in two verses that the Lord's form is different from both the gross and subtle. Okay? We were arguing that he's both big and small, infinite and infinitesimal. Now we're going to argue that he's neither. He's different from both the gross and the subtle. And this is in the chapter, says here 8.3.24. So in reference to the saving of Gajendra. I think there's a brief mention of the Gajendra pastime. Oh no, Gajendra pastime is in chapter 3 of Keto 8. Matsya pastime is in chapter 24. Anyway, the two verses spoken by Shukadeva, I think, say, Savai na deva sura martya tiryang na stri na shando na puman na jantu na yam guna karma na san na cha san nisheda shesho jayatad asheshaha. He is neither demigod nor demon. Neither human nor bird or beast. He is not a woman, a man, or neuter. Nor is he an animal. What's left? He is not material, quality, fruit of activity, or the gross products or subtle causes of creation. He is the last word in the discrimination of neti-neti, not this and not that. Nisheda-shesho. And he is unlimited. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the next verse after that. Evam gajendram upavarnita nirvishesham brahmadayo vivida linga bidabhimana naiteyadopa paspishur nikilatmakotvat tatra kilamaramayo hariravirasit. Okay, that first verse was the last prayer offered by Gajendra. And then Shukadev continues after that verse. They're not right next to one another. There's six verses in between. Okay. When the king of the elephants was describing the supreme authority, without mentioning any particular person. Okay, so he didn't address anybody by name. He did not invoke the demigods headed by Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, and Chandra. So he didn't name any demigod, thus none of them approached him. However, because Lord Hari is the Supersoul, Purushottama, the personality of Godhead, he appeared before Gajendra. Yasya Brahmadayo Deva, Ityadi Praktana Padya Dwayena, Yasya Bhamada Yodeva was spoken by whom? Okay, I'm sorry. Praktana means. Okay, two verses before the verse we quoted from Gajendra. Two verses before that, there were the words Yasya Bhamada Yodeva. Idyadi Praktana Padya Dwayena Yasmat Sarva Karanatvam Vyanjidam Tasma deva dinam madye kopi nabhavati. Since the two verses before this, which began, yeah, it says two verses, okay. That means 22 and 23 before 24. 24 was the first verse here spoken by Gajendra. Two verses before that said, from whom are created Brahma and the other demigods? That suggests that he is the cause of everything. Therefore, he is not anyone among the demigods and the others. Vailakshanyam cha sattvikatva bhautikatvadi hinataiva. Stritva purushatva hinata cha prakrita tadta dharma rahityam. Okay, so he's not any demigod, not any creature. His being different, furthermore, is simply his not being a product of the mode of goodness, or of the physical elements, or any other material forces. He's different from all the demigods because he's not a product of any material mode or energy. And what about saying he's not a man, a woman, or a eunuch? Is he nothing? No, that his not being a man or a woman is actually his being free from the mundane qualities of both genders. The material identities of being a man and a woman have something inferior about them. But he's not a material man or a material woman. He is a man, but not a material man. And thus it is said he's not a eunuch. He's not a kleba, or what's the word, a shanda. Not neuter either. He's no material category. Tasman nakopi jantuhu karana bhuta sattvadi guna punya papa lakshanam karma chanetyaha. Nayam guna karmeti tayorapi pravartakatvad iti bhavaha. Therefore he is no creature at all, nor is he the modes of goodness and so on, which act as the causes of creation. He's not the material causes of creation, the modes, that's not him, nor is he the action of karma. You might think karma is supreme. But he's not karma either. Karma, whose symptoms are piety and sin. He's beyond that. This is stated by the words, he is not qualitative substance or activity. Nayam guna karmeti. Which imply the reason that he is the initiator of both. The reason, comma, that he is the initiator of both the modes of nature and of karma. He's not nature, he's not karma, he's the creator of both. Commentary on this? Gajendra, the king of the elephants, caught in a mortal conflict with a predator, remembered his devotion to the Supreme Lord from his previous life as a saintly king. Not quite remembering, however, who that Supreme Lord was by name. So there's certain inauspicious failures of facility in being in an elephant's body. You can vaguely remember your devotional service, but not remember who the Lord is. He couldn't remember who that Supreme Lord was by name. So he prayed to him very intelligently, but in general terms. Near the end of his prayers, he spoke two verses, followed by the one the Sundarbha cites here. Okay, so for the two verses before that are the following. Yasya brahmadayo deva veda lokas chara chara nama rupa vibedena palgva chakalaya kvita. The Supreme Lord creates his minor parts and parcels, the jiva tattva, palgu, kalaya, palgva, his minor part and parcel, the jivas, the jiva tattva, beginning with Lord Brahma, the demigods, and the expansions of Vedic knowledge, and including all other living entities, moving and non-moving, with their different names and characteristics. Yatarchi shogne savitur gabastayo niryanti sangyanti asakrit swarochisha tatayato yam gunasam pravaho buddhir manakani sharira sargaha. As the sparks of a fire or the shining rays of the sun emanate from their source and merge into it again and again. The mind, the intelligence, the senses, the gross and subtle material bodies, and the continuous transformations of the different modes of... transformations of the different modes of nature all emanate from the Lord and again merge back into Him. That's the two verses before the first verse quoted here, spoken by Gajendra. The Supreme Lord is not a finite person, and yet He still is a person. He is not a material male, but He is alone as the ultimate male. He is not a eunuch or a non-person. Nonetheless, although He is no ordinary person, for His pastimes He can become a human being or even any species of animal. Nor are the impersonal laws of nature supreme. The Lord of all is not produced from the modes and movements of the elements of His creation. By negating all wrong possibilities, it may be possible to discover His real identity. This is the neti-neti, not this, not that, method of analysis taught in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which, according to the authoritative interpretation of Srimad Bhagavatam, that method should lead to discovering not formless truth, but the divine personality of Godhead. The king of elephants was addressing the absolute truth as Nirvishesha, without distinction of material qualities. Therefore, the demigods, who know they embody material dualities, did not respond to His prayer. Lord Vishnu is Nirvishesha because He is the supersoul of all living and non-living beings. Nothing exists altogether separate from Him. His female counterpart expands her inferior part as material nature, who under His oversight further expands into the three modes of substance and movement, goodness, passion, and ignorance, by which everything in this world is created. Activity in the personal realm of the Supreme Lord is all unrestricted play. But under the regime of material nature's three modes, everything happens under strict laws of action and reaction. Thus creation evolves, impelled by the gunas and karma. But Lord Vishnu and His devotees remain above it all, happy and free. Okay, there's still two more parts of this anuchet. We'll continue on Sunday. This section has been citing the statements and realizations of various great devotees about the infinite nature of the body of the Supreme Lord. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.